Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented today by Fauch Agri Service in Grand Junction. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our back with us today for part two of our two-part series is Dr. Lori Connolly, the Chief Medical Officer with Green County Medical Center. And so, Dr. Connolly, we're talking about RSV on our first part of our program. We're going to continue to talk about RSV in the second part of our program here, but I'd like for us to kind of start this one off by telling us what the signs and symptoms are with RSV and if there's any differentiating signs or symptoms between that and the flu or COVID to give parents a little bit better idea of what they should be looking out for.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I figured it would be because everything's about the same anymore.
It is. So right now, COVID, the predominant symptom is sore throat. And then you have, some achiness. Hardly any fever right now with the Omicron strains that are going around. And of course, there's some new strains that are becoming dominant here soon. So we're yet to see what those strains have as their main symptom. RSV is almost all runny nose, so lots of nose congestion, and then the cough. And that coarse lung sound, and especially the younger of the children. But kids, Coltrane, they have a fever if they just have a regular cold. I mean, they do. It is so tough with little ones. You and I, if we got RSV, we would not have a fever. Almost never would we have a fever, and yet that little one under three is going to have a high fever for the first couple of days, like they do with rhinovirus or any other cold, and then their fever breaks. So COVID, again, it can also have the runny nose, and it has the cough, and not so much the fever, maybe. Influenza, again, fevers and cough are the predominant symptoms for influenza, and usually we ache everywhere. So little kids come in looking like they want to just die, flopped over in the chair, and you're like, they're not running around like the crazy three-year-old, and you're saying, okay, they look like influenza. But kids, when they run a fever from RSV the first 2 days, fever can make them look like that too.
Right.
So it's really almost impossible to differentiate one from the other. Most important thing for any of these is that if there are problems with the breathing. So again, very few kids with RSV are going to have to be in the hospital. But if you see they're working hard to breathe, so they're really using their chest muscles. They're really breathing fast. You'd be saying, oh, that doesn't look normal, and they need to be checked out.
I know you've kind of touched on the fact that RSV is pretty darn contagious when a kid has it. Can you tell us about that time frame range of how contagious they can be and maybe how long that could potentially last?
Yeah, what I was reading is it can be from 3 to 11 days. So that's super helpful information, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I was just going to say here up to 11 days, somebody can be contagious. In one study, though, 40% of the people putting out RSV viral fumes weren't even with symptoms. So, again, the viruses are amazing at survival. But up to 11 days.
Okay. So then on the flip side there, is there any treatment options like a steroid or some other kind of medication that parents either need to go to the hospital to get prescription for or something they can do at home to try and alleviate this issue?
That's the hard thing with RSV is there is literally zero treatment for RSV. So if your child has asthma, sometimes called reactive airway disease, all viruses, as those parents know, can act up the child's asthma. And so they would be more inclined to have to use their nebulizer treatments for their asthma. If they're having a lot of trouble with their asthma, they would be given a steroid to help their asthma. But RSV, the treatments are nose sucking, maybe raising the child's head to sleep, because we all know when we have a bad nose cold, as soon as we lay down in bed, we're more stuffy, we can't sleep. So maybe raising the head to sleep. And then if the child's oxygen levels aren't good, it's oxygen in the nose, which most of us don't have at home, of course. And so that would require the hospitalization is for that oxygen support.
You kind of explained it to us about how the disease, where it comes from and how people can contract it. So I guess just to ask you a question here about Green County Medical Center specifically, if they start getting these kind of signs and symptoms and they're just like some of us parents freak out a little bit because our kid is having trouble breathing. Mm-hmm.
what can they do as far as reaching out to you here at Greene County Medical Center for help?
So absolutely, the clinic, we now have the same day appointments where you just call and we'll make sure you get seen that same day. If you're really worried, and it always happens, it seems like with these viral illnesses, croup, RSV, it's always middle of the night, right? I mean, almost invariably it's middle of the night. If you are worried about that kid's breathing, we're worried about that kid's breathing, and they need to come to the emergency room to be assessed. So if the oxygen levels look great, the child isn't working hard to breathe, you know, after being evaluated, then they'll talk about the nasal suctioning, you know, trying to raise the head to sleep and seeing how you do at home. But again, if that child's needing oxygen, that's hospitalization.
Kind of the last thing here for us, Dr. Connolly, to kind of grapple with is we've talked a lot about the younger kids getting RSV. Do adults occasionally get that? And if so, how does that work and some of the things that are associated with that?
So absolutely, adults can get RSV. We don't tend to think about that because we don't have the same respiratory problems as kiddos do, right? Our bronchioles are larger. And so for us, it is truly just an upper airway, nose running, drainage down our throat type of situation. We'd say, oh, I have a darn cold again. It would just be a normal nose cold for us. Except if somebody's elderly, again, they have bad lung disease, you have severe asthma, you have emphysema, you have
underlying symptoms,
underlying issues,
chronic,
yep, a chronic heart disease, just really old and frail. That simple cold virus can be very dangerous in people with those kind of underlying conditions, including RSV.
And can be proven fatal, too?
Exactly.
Is that about right?
Okay. Exactly. And so it would be incredibly uncommon for somebody to an adult to die from RSV. But again, there are those people who any kind of cold virus, upper respiratory virus, can be fatal if it turns into a secondary pneumonia, if it activates their COPD.
And so if somebody starts to feel that way, they should probably be seen immediately to get some kind of help from Greene County Medical.
Absolutely. And so again, for RSV, if we probably wouldn't even test necessarily an adult with cold symptoms for RSV. But for example, somebody with bad emphysema or COPD, if their COPD is acted up, we've got to get them on an anti-inflammatory antibiotic. We've got to get them on a steroid for their COPD. There's no treatment for the RSV, but we need to take care of their underlying medical issue that's going to cause them problems.
And that was the Chief Medical Officer with Greene County Medical Center, Dr. Lori Connolly, joining us for our second of our two-part series. You're listening to the Let's Talk Greene County program brought to you by Fouch AgriService in downtown Grand Junction, your channel seedsman. We'll be right back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.